Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. What a great time we had at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament because it was a giving back time. 51 teams, record number. Steve Engel sent us a great email. Steve, I can't begin to tell you what a great time I had with Craig Purdy, Adam Purdy, and Steve Engel playing in their group. We just had an absolute blast. Now, did we get frustrated because I think we have four really good players and we couldn't get anything going, but that's a different topic. Part of playing golf with people, obviously you want to play well, but at the same time, it's the people you're around. I couldn't have asked for a better group to be around. We had an absolute blast out there on Wednesday last week for a great cause, the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And Purdy Insurance, when you're talking about decades, I mean decades. So you can't keep a business going for decades unless you have people looking at you saying, you know what, they're really good at what they do. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. They'll find you the best price, the right insurance, and customer service means everything to them. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Again, same story. You want to deal with the best? They're the best. Happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday. Not the best weather today, but hey, it's like that Carpenter's classic, rainy days and Mondays.
Yeah, sure.
Not my favorite Carpenter's song, but it sticks out today.
Yeah, it's not very nice. Around here, we have bulk collection week. So you can take the big items. So, I mean, I was cleaning out some big items. I'm going to put it out tonight. But there's two ways of looking at it. I was always referred to it as the bulk collectors convention coming to town. We're suddenly at 2 in the morning and there's no greater thrill than hearing somebody outside your house rummaging. You're like, oh, that doesn't sound very good. But then pride takes over. You wake up the next day, and all the stuff the Hopis put out next door is gone, but some of your stuff remains. Whoa, hey, what was wrong with my junk? What made their junk so much better? Come on, man. Pride takes over.
Yes.
Bulk collection week. Yes. We've cleaned out some areas around the Sunbury Motors studio, by the way. It's actually a lot more room over there now.
Very nice.
So, all right. The big story today is John Beilein. Obviously, if you're a Sixers fan, it is the Kawhi Leonard shot. And that's what you have to be concerned about, the Kawhi Leonard shot. It bounced four times in the rim. I'll tell you when I thought it was going to go in is when it bounced the third time. When it bounced the third time, I thought, this thing's going in. Then it hit one more time, and it went in. The first one, I thought, oh, I missed it. Then it went up, and like then it hit the rim again. I'm like, okay. But then when it hit the third time, I thought, this is too close to the neighborhood. And then it went in.
Do you think the more times it would hit that rim, the the fewer, the more decreased chances that ball was going to go through the net.
No, the more times it hit, the closer I thought it was to going in. We'll hear from Dick Girardi today about that and the John Beilein story. I'll mostly concentrate with him about John. Look, John Beilein is he's going to take the Cleveland Cavaliers job 5 years. This does have an effect, obviously, on what Penn State does because Michigan is in the Big Ten. And John Beilein has stepped in there, and he brought Michigan to two national championship games. The but, you know, it does get to a point where I think if you're a head coach in today's game, basketball, you know, and of course, naturally, there are the usual cracks that people have made, and they've made them, yeah. And admit, you can admit out there that you're some of them. Well, he's going to the NBA where they make just slightly more money than what they made at Michigan. Not if John Beilein had anything to do with it. I'll say this. John, along the way, may have inadvertently missed a rule here or there, like inadvertently, but it was only inadvertently. John Beilein is somebody who did everything he could to follow the rules to the letter. He's not one of those guys. And you got to wonder, I'll say this, though. John has always been somebody who's, he was at Canisius a while. And then he took the Richmond job. And he was at Richmond a while. And then he took the West Virginia job. He was at West Virginia a while. Then for 12 years, he's been at Michigan. Obviously, he's been there a while. He has never been one that has skirted from job to job to job to job to job. He's 66 now. He's been coaching in the game for over 40 years. Over 40 years. Now he has an opportunity to coach the best basketball players in the world. Obviously, with Colin Sexton and Kevin Love, it's not... After that, it's a team that doesn't have a lot of talent. We know that. That's one of the reasons why when the draft lottery comes up tomorrow night, they will be prominently featured. You are only prominently featured in the draft lottery if you're not very good or else you made a trade. And that is Cleveland. But you know what? He's got a 5-year deal at the age of 66. Probably vast majority of that's guaranteed. He's also in an era now in college basketball where, in a lot of ways, it is not a fun time to be a coach in college basketball. You've got, you know, trials going on. Now they're finished, but trials. We'll hear from Will Hobson later in the show. But trials going on. You've got runners. You've got agents. You've got one and dones. You've got... He's going to lose. He really essentially played six guys this year. Maybe you want to count Eli Brooks as a seventh. But he's going to lose three guys off that team that all were scheduled to come back. Now, Charles Matthews was a fourth-year player. I think people forget he actually started his career at Kentucky and then he transferred to Michigan. But he had 1 year left, but, you know, look, this is a guy that's academically a senior. I can understand he wants to go. Izzy Brazdeikis is a true freshman. And as I maintained during the season when we talked about the draft, that brought, to me, Brazdeikis was the best pro prospect on that team. And I think Brazdeikis could go anywhere from 20 to 35 in this draft. And then there's Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole's a very good player. A very good college player. But he's put his name into the NBA draft, and I think one of two things is going to happen to Jordan Poole. He's either going to be a late second-round pick or he's going to be in the G League. He may be in the G League regardless. But when his father says, well, there really isn't much more that Jordan can do offensively at Michigan, John Beilein's one of the top offensive minds in all of basketball. You're not telling me he can't learn more offense at Michigan? You wonder if stuff like that happens and a coach sits back and says, you know what, I don't need this anymore. He did flirt with the Detroit Pistons last year, but the flirtation appears to have more been on his part than on the Pistons' part. But that was the one that surprised everybody today. So am I surprised he went? Yes. Am I not surprised he went? No. It's a mix. Part of me was like, oh, geez, John Beilein's leaving. And he's going to the pros. I'm not surprised because there had been a dalliance with the Orlando Magic. There had been a dalliance with the Detroit Pistons. So in that vein, I'm not surprised he's going to the Cleveland Cavaliers because it's not as if he hasn't floated his name out there to a couple different organizations. Heck of a coach. He's had a heck of a college career now. He gets to ply his trade on a different level. And look, the NBA game, I don't care what anybody says, the NBA game is different than the college game. It is different in a lot of ways, from shot clock to out-of-bounds situations to, I mean, you name it. And especially, obviously, to the athletes that are playing it. But he took that job. Now what does Michigan do? If they were to stay internally, just say Ward Manuel wanted to stay internally, I would say that Sade Washington might be on staff the guy you'd look at, but I think they'll go outside, and when it comes to options outside, I can't even begin to tell you what the options are outside. Can I even begin to tell you? Especially in the month of May. That's why I always said about Patrick Chambers. Patrick Chambers took the job in June years ago. Well, you don't have a fall recruiting season. Excuse me, you don't have a spring recruiting season. You're trying to play from behind. And so that's, for Michigan, they have to now come up with a coach here. And we'll see which way they want to go. Now, what do they have as a base coming back? John Teske, who will be absolutely one of the better big men in the Big Ten, who's really improved as time has gone. Isaiah Livers, whom I really like. I think Livers is a heck of a player. And Xavier Simpson, who defensively is a superior player and off, you know, is a good passer, not a great passer. He's a good passer, a superior defender, and challenged offensively. That's the base of what they have coming back. I mean, Livers will step in. Livers will be a terrific player for them. He'll play really well. Teske will play well. And Simpson will, you know, he'll run the show. But Simpson's not Cassius Winston. He's not. Not even the same realm. All right, so that's the big story of the day. ESPN has the usual 8 stories on LeBron commenting on different things, which, no offense, look, just watch TV, okay? I don't know. Why do they ask him what he thinks about this stuff? I could care less what he thinks about C.J. McCollum, right? Just whatever.
He's out of the playoffs, but it's like the four-letter network wants to just bring him back in.
Whoa, they've got to milk it for all they can. Tiger sure. Tiger played a practice round today at Bethpage Black. Well, so did 40 other guys. Okay, we'll come back with.
Like I said, LeBron was on the cart.
I'm surprised LeBron wasn't on the bag.
On the bag.
You know, told Joe LaCava to take the day off. LeBron selecting clubs. If ESPN thinks that happened, it happened. Unbelievable. Sidney Crosby isn't in the playoffs. Why don't you ask him what he thinks? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And it's out of here!
Hit a home run of a deal with SMC. Sunbury Motors Ford has incredible May deals that will have you cheering too. Just listen, Ford's MVP, the top-selling 2019 F-150 truck, has 0% financing for up to 72 months. Plus, save up to $13,000 off. And SMC has 65 to pick from. 2019 Ford Escape start at $17,485. And SMC has 47 to choose from. Take $7,500 off 2019 Ford Explorers, $8,000 off 2019 Ford Edges and Echo Sports, and a whopping $8,500 off 2019 Ford Escapes. And you can hit a grand slam with up to $12,000 off Ford Expeditions. In May, SMC is better than the ballpark. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Hey, how about Penn State men's lacrosse winning in the NCAA tournament for the first time? They ran out UMBC yesterday, 25-10 at Panzer Stadium. They now have advanced to the NCAA quarterfinals, which will be where UConn plays football, Pratt Whitney Stadium at Rentschler Field in East Hartford, Connecticut, on Sunday at noon. Guess who will be in attendance at that game? Me. I'm going to go. It just turns out that, as Sean knows, months ago, I was able to get through a friend of Jack Hammond, Ron Moeller's.
Mole Man.
Look, you got to give the Mole Man credit where credit is due.
Yes.
Yeah. But get a couple of tickets to the Red Sox-Astros game on Saturday night. You know, it's, quote, my off season, and I wanted to have some fun and do a couple of things. Well, this is one of the, I haven't gone to Fenway in 7 years. So I think most people know, you know, based on, you know, having my brother on the show, I grew up in Connecticut. So the entire plan was to, I got a hotel room in Connecticut on Friday night. So after the show, I'll drive up there. And then I want to see Kevin and a couple of other people Saturday morning. Then go up to the Boston area, have lunch with my Aunt Jackie and Uncle Dave. And then Dan and I are going to go to the game. It's 7:15 game. The game's on Fox, I think, so it's 7:15 start. And once over, then I'm going to go back to the same hotel room I got in Connecticut. Well, the hotel room I got in Connecticut is 10 miles away from East Hartford, where the lacrosse team is playing Sunday at noon. Well, I'm going to be there Sunday anyway. I thought, well, I'm going to go. The heck? They could beat Loyola. They're in the Final Four. They played great yesterday. You name the face-off, they won it. I mean, every time you turn around, Penn State had it. You know, we've had Jeff Tambroni on the show, and you heard him talking about the importance of ground balls and face-offs and everything. They won all that stuff. Then, hey, they can win. That'd be awesome. Get to their first ever Final Four. But they are playing great. They have five players named to the All-America team. Grant Amen was the one who's the first team All-America. Matt O'Keefe's had an incredible year for them. Lacrosse is a growing sport. And we talk about participation, youth participation in sports. You know, there's some concern about how many people are involved in high school football now. There are people concerned about how many people are actually wrestling now, believe it or not, soccer. Not when it comes to lacrosse. It seems like lacrosse has been the growth sport where there have been a lot of participants in lacrosse. More and more high schools are carrying the sport. So they'll play Loyola of Maryland in the quarterfinals Sunday at noon. And we'll carry some of the post-game comments for you on Monday because I'll have the ability to get them. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're going to get a double dip of Dick Girardi this week. Today, hearing from him on John Beilein. And then coming up later in the week, we'll have him talking about the Preakness. It's an all-new field.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They do a great job for the customers because that's what they care about. They care about you. if you put your trust in them, they will reward it over and over again. They'll find you the right insurance so you're covered. Now, whether your need happens to be auto, home, life, business, a combination, they'll find you the best price because that's great customer service. They'll update when you need updating. And if there's anything that ever happens along the way, because that's why you have insurance, they will take care of it and take the burden off of you in terms of how to handle it. Great people. The best in the business. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Talk about best in the business, Sunbury Motors. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kawhi Leonard hit about as dramatic a shot as you could ever have. Never in the history of the NBA as a Game 7 ended on a series-winning shot, the last shot of the game. You're saying, well, what about Jordan against the Cavs? True, except that was the fifth and deciding game, not Game 7. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And we'll get into John Beilein leaving Michigan for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Also, for those who are faithful listeners to the show, we try everything. We do try as hard as we can through research, guests, experience to open the door as to what might happen. Not always going to be right, but you know, sometimes we get pretty close. We've been telling you for months now that the rules of college basketball would change. Well, the rules did come out, and the ones that we talked about are the ones they would like to go in. Moving the three-point line to the international line. On an offensive rebound, recycling the shot clock to 20 and not 30. There's a couple of others they added in there that are a little bit different, but we talked specifically about those two rules that they would get through. And on Friday, those two rules did get through. The final approval, by the way, is June 5th. Three-point line, I think you'll see maybe a slight decrease in percentage. Slight. But I also think it'll open up the floor more because they're not changing the width of the lane. We'll talk about that with Dick Girardi in the final half hour as well. First of all, one of the tough elements for college basketball to go through, and some of it's self-imposed, happened to be the two trials, one of which ended last week with the conviction of Merle Code and Christian Dawkins. Will Hobson of the Washington Post covered it. Will, welcome. Great to have you with us. Thanks so much for your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, so trial number two is over with. Both ended up with convictions. In the end, I know I followed it closely. You covered it. So what did you learn that maybe you didn't know before?
You know, not a whole lot, which I think is
agreed.
Kind of...
I agree with that.
Which I think is fueling a lot of the criticism here of the folks at the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office who greenlit this investigation these many years ago.
Yeah, didn't learn much along the way. And, of course, a lot had been leaked along the way, too. So it was not surprising to hear Sean Miller's name come up. It was not surprising to hear Will Wade's name come up because it had been leaked. When you look at the two guys that were, in the end, convicted, especially Christian Dawkins, Dawkins makes no apology that he thinks players should be paid along the way. So how did you look at the two defendants in this?
Well, I mean, so we'll separate a little bit. With regard to Dawkins, I mean, he offers, obviously, he gives himself the benefit of the doubt when he's describing his role in all this. And I think one thing that gets lost in all these alleged deals for players is how infrequently any of this money actually find its way to the players. It's always somebody representing, oh, I'm the trainer, I'm the handler, I can, you know, get me $10,000, I'll influence the kid's decision. It's almost never the kid actually getting the money. Sometimes it's the parents. But in a lot of these deals, this was Dawkins shaking down Adidas or an undercover FBI agent and representing that he had influence over a certain recruit. That all being said, I have yet to see a crime that justifies the length of time and scope of resources that the FBI and the Justice Department devoted to this case.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting case because it confirms what some people have thought about some parts of college basketball, but in terms of our money, and it is our money, going to something like this, I really sat back and said, okay, really, the FBI is investigating that? Am I on the right track here with you?
Yeah, and it's funny, since in the aftermath of this trial, there's been a few stories and columns sort of suggesting that, well, the NCAA better get to the bottom of this. You know, they got to get a handle on this. And I, to those folks, I would submit, I mean, good luck. How are they going to do that? The FBI, with all its resources, spent 3 years investigating college basketball, and they uncovered smoking gun evidence of a grand total of zero head coaches paying to get top recruits. And if they have it, they didn't play those cards. So, I mean, the NCAA, they can't wiretap anyone's phone. They can't compel somebody to talk to them. They have the same resources I do as a journalist. They can call people and ask them to tell them stuff. And I think that folks expecting, you know, a bunch of death penalty level punishments to come out of this are going to end up a little disappointed.
I think you're exactly right, which then brings me to two words that I've used, because I've talked about the trials many times on the show. The two words I used when it came to head coaches and why you didn't hear the names of head coaches would be, there was a lot of plausible deniability put in. Frere?
Exactly. It's kind of similar to, you know, if you've seen Goodfellas.
Yes.
Paulie never takes a phone call. It's always Paulie's got somebody underneath him who takes the phone call and then relays the message to him. So, I mean, this is not to say the head coaches are blameless here. I mean, it certainly looks like Bill Self, if Bill Self was not aware that Adidas was running around dropping bags of cash on his behalf, then it's because he didn't want to know. But in the first trial, that gentleman, TJ Gasnola, who was an Adidas consultant who was paying kids to go to Kansas, or I should say trying to pay kids to go to Kansas.
Right.
I mean, anyone who knew TJ in basketball circles knew that's a guy who makes deals happen to get players at certain schools. Mm-hmm. So the idea that Bill Self wouldn't know that just, you know, strains credulity.
Right. I know this, a lot of this dealt with the Adidas part. Are you surprised at all at any point that Under Armour or Nike did not somehow fall into this web?
Well, I mean, it looks like, but for the conduct of Michael Avenatti, Nike almost did, and they still may. I mean, you know, that kind of remains to be seen. I mean, the evidence that Avenatti ended up publishing on the internet after he was charged with extortion makes it look like there were Nike officials doing basically the exact same thing that these Adidas officials were doing. So the question then becomes, you know, are the prosecutors and FBI agents in Manhattan, do they want to do this again? Do they want to roll through another trial or two? And that's, you know, that's a question for them them to answer. But, I mean, to get to the larger question, folks at Under Armour and Nike are definitely suspected of doing the exact same things. They might not be documenting it to the level and degree that the folks at Adidas were.
Marty Blazer, this all started out with him being caught in SEC violations, and I don't mean the Southeastern Conference.
Right.
How does one reduce one sentence? I have some stuff you may want to know. In the end, what did you think of his credibility as a witness?
I mean, in the end, I think that arguably the most immoral person, the person who committed the most serious crimes in all of this, was the original cooperating witness the government started with. They used a bad guy and got some less bad people, which is like the opposite of the way you're supposed to do it.
Yep. You're supposed to work your way up the chain, not down.
Right. So that's basically what I've, I think, the crimes that he committed and that he is going to serve a less severe sentence for are more serious crimes. And I'm talking about, ripping off clients than yeah. anything that has been documented since.
In the trial, if I recall the testimony, they said when it came to Rick Pitino, they said he was, quote, almost clueless about the whole thing. And then Tom Izzo just flat out said no when it came to Bowen. No, we don't, we're not going to do that. So in the end, did they come out looking better because of this?
Izzo definitely does. That's a pretty pretty strong ring endorsement there to have a guy on a wiretap saying, yeah, they don't pay at Michigan State.
Right.
Pitino... yes and no. At the end of the day, he had a number of people trying to pay kids on his program's behalf, right. which some would argue he's responsible. He also had one assistant coach pay the father of a recruit, and he had another assistant trying to pay for recruits. So, in terms of head coach responsibility, that doesn't look great.
Right.
But it's certainly a far cry from where we thought we were going to be when this started, with the FBI dropping court documents that referenced phone calls between Rick Pitino and Adidas folks that, we thought we were going to hear Pitino on a wiretap trying to make a payment happen. And
yeah.
That evidence doesn't exist.
All right. What about Will Wade? He was suspended at the end of the regular season, SEC tournament, NCAA tournament. Oh, but reinstated, and the athletic director's gone. In the end, how does LSU look in all of this?
It doesn't look great now, although I'll caution in that with this wiretap testimony, you can't take everything that's said literally, because you don't know what's bluff and bluster and what is, what are true statements. The other thing with regard to how LSU and Arizona are handling this to keep in mind is that if LSU fires Will Wade now, if Arizona fires Sean Miller now, they need to demonstrate cause, and they'll need to fight over what I'm sure are
exactly.
hefty buyouts.
Yep.
If they let the NCAA investigate, and the NCAA throws the book at these guys, well, then they can fire them for cause, and that makes it a little bit easier for them, and probably cheaper. So that also could be what's going on there.
All right, after going through all of this, do you see, because of the results of this, any change, or do you see very quietly business continue as usual?
I'm sure that folks who are trying to pay for recruits to go to certain schools are doing it much more cautiously and carefully now. It probably has reduced that type of activity a little bit, big picture, no, I don't think a whole lot is going to change here. I think that, it's funny. I think there might be less of shoe company folks paying to get kids to certain schools just because basketball shoes don't make as much money for shoe companies right. as they used to. I think that right. probably has more of an impact on it than anything that the FBI has done.
What does this do in the AAU level, if anything?
The funny thing about the AAU level, which is it's kind of a misnomer, it's really the shoe company grassroots league.
Right, that's my point. Yeah.
Those kids, actually, that's the one big revelation to me out of all this was, and you asked that earlier, is how much money kids can make just to play for grassroots basketball team. And I'm not talking about the Zion Williamsons of the world. If Nike and Adidas were able to just pay the 50 best high school players in the country to play for their leagues, they would. Those teams make money, not because of where those kids might go or who they might turn into, but because they're hardcore hoop fans who want to see the best 16-year-old basketball players in the country play against each other. And So that I just found that interesting. How, you know, if my 16 or 17 year old kid, God bless him, turns into a stud basketball player, that, you know, people are going to be throwing money at him to play for the best local Nike team, not because he may or may not go to Duke or Carolina, but just because people want to watch him play then.
90% of the money that the NCAA gets is from the college basketball tournament. In your opinion, on this particular day, is it a sigh of relief that the NCAA feels on this particular day, even though they may have to look into a mess here or there?
I don't know if it's a sigh of relief, because it certainly created a lot of dirty work for them to try to clean up in terms of these cases they need to investigate. But it's certainly not as grave a threat to, you know, quote unquote, the integrity of college basketball, to the extent that that exists, as it seemed. You know, when this started, we thought it was possible you were going to see every major program in the country revealed to be arranging, you know, payments for recruits. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case, not because the evidence. There's a chance that it's not as widespread as Christian Dawkins makes it appear. You know, I'm sure some programs have people paying for top recruits, but I am skeptical that it is as widespread as, you know, as he made it seem when he was up on the stand.
And finally, how much of this do you think was a younger guy like Christian Dawkins, and then the Merle Code, but Dawkins in particular, trying to be the big shot and make a name for themselves versus, you know, as opposed to somebody who has legit credibility out there?
I think a lot of it came down to the bluster or, you know, BS of Christian Dawkins in particular. He was a name dropper. You know, the reason why, you know, poor Jim Larrañaga in Miami, the only reason his program was involved in this was because Dawkins and a friend of his, Brad Augustine, were just BS on the phone one day about,
yep,
you know, Larrañaga, he knows this needs to happen. And, you know, the FBI prints that, puts that in the court document, puts it in a press release, and, you know, that program ends up probably dealing with one or two worse recruiting classes as a result.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's my point. I think sometimes some of this stuff happens, Will, and it's because, you know, you're trying to be the hot shot, you're trying to be whatever, and yeah, you start name dropping left and right, and you have no business to drop anybody's name because you're not established yet.
Right. Well, I mean, but not all of us are on, you know, wiretap phone calls that are going to end up, you know, written and published.
Wiretaps are bad, Will. Okay. So I always love that. Yes, I categorically deny this. It's on a wiretap. What? I heard you say it.
Right.
It's amazing how that works. Hey, thanks a lot. You gave us a lot of perspective. I really appreciate it very much, Will.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Will Hobson of the Washington Post. Next half hour, Yaroslav Weitzman, NBA writer for Bleacher Report. We'll talk about the Sixers. Tied on the first bounce. Tied on the second bounce. Tied on the third bounce. Still tied in the fourth bounce. There was no fifth bounce. It went through. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.